This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. This day in sports history. It's March 19th, and as the NCAA tournament tips off today, let's go back to this day in 1966 and a game that changed college basketball for the better. It was the NCAA tournament championship game between Texas Western, which is now known as the University of Texas El Paso, and the Kentucky Wildcats. Texas Western, coached by Don Haskins, featured an all-black starting five against Adolph Rupp's all-white Kentucky starting five. It was the first time an all-black starting five competed in the national championship game. Now, of course, black athletes had played collegiate basketball prior to this, going back to the 1930s. Jackie Robinson played basketball at UCLA before breaking the color barrier in the major leagues, as one example. But black players had only been allowed in limited numbers, and mostly out west or in the north. The South was particularly resistant. There's the unfortunate story of Chuck Cooper, a black freshman at Duquesne in 1946. When the University of Tennessee showed up for their game with the Dukes and found out that Cooper was going to play, they refused to take the court, and they forfeited the game instead. Later on, as the game progressed and black players were allowed to play in greater numbers, for a time there was a so-called gentleman's agreement to have no more than a couple of black players on the court at any one time. In fact, there's a story about Jim Brown quitting the Syracuse basketball team because of this limitation, which was not based on talent, but on skin color. Loyola Chicago pushed the envelope in 1963, starting four black players and winning the national title against Cincinnati. That kickstarted more recruitment of black players for sure, with leagues like the ACC and teams like Duke adding C.B. Claiborne to the roster in 1965. North Carolina recruited Charlie Scott in 1966, Norwood Todman going to Wake Forest in 1966. Even in Kentucky, Western Kentucky had recruited two black players to play for the Hilltoppers in 1963. But Rupp had resisted the recruitment of black players to the University of Kentucky. Asked in 1972 by a black recruit that he actually had on campus why he had not recruited any black players prior to 1970, he replied, "Because I didn't have to. I've always gotten the best white players in the country." Well, on this night, it was Haskins' best five versus Rupp's best five, and people were paying attention. The Miners took the lead midway through the first half, and they never gave it up. They shot 45% from the field for the game, and they spent a lot of time at the free throw line, hitting 28 of 34 free throws. Kentucky did not have a good shooting night, hitting just 39% of their shots, and when the game ended, the scoreboard read Texas Western 72, Kentucky 65. This game, along with Loyola Chicago's win in 63, were two big catalysts to schools, especially in the South, to recruit more black players. Also, in 1981, the Buffalo Sabres set an NHL record by scoring 9 goals in a period. They scored those in the second period in a 14-4 win against the Toronto Maple Leafs. In 1991, the NFL pulled Super Bowl XXVII out of Phoenix after controversy built to a fever pitch over the state of Arizona's refusal to recognize Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday as a paid holiday. In 1990, the people of Arizona voted down Proposition 301 that would have made MLK Day a holiday. Backlash soon followed. The NFL gave the rights to Super Bowl XXVII to the city of Pasadena, California instead. Arizona put the proposition back on the ballot in 1992, and it passed. And in 1995, Michael Jordan returned to the basketball court for the first time in a year and a half after his hiatus to play professional baseball. On this night, the Chicago Bulls were playing the Indiana Pacers on the road. Jordan, wearing number 45 instead of his usual 23, showed signs of rust, hitting just 7 of his 28 shots. He missed all 4 of his 3-point attempts, but he did play 43 minutes. The Pacers spoiled his return with a 103-96 win. However, this game drew eyeballs. An estimated 35 million people tuned in to watch MJ's return to the game, which is the most watched regular season NBA game and is second only to Game 6 of the 98 NBA Finals between Jordan's Bulls and the Utah Jazz for the most watched game in NBA history. Of course, that game versus the Jazz was his last game before his second retirement. In today's non-sports, did you know? A living cat was once transformed temporarily into a telephone. That experiment eventually led to cochlear implants. That's all for today. More tomorrow on This Day in Sports History. This has been an original Thrive Suite production.
Hey there, Sports History fans.
We've got some exciting news to share with you. 6 of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote, cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all 6 of them. Again, every vote counts, and we gotta show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You got to go vote now. That's over at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote.